It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He's set to join us in just a few moments. One of the topics we'll talk about is the corn market, and especially the fact that we see demand for U.S. corn, but price decreases. Brad Rippey, USDA.
At this time in July of 2024, we were sitting at 68% good to excellent and 9% very poor to poor. Only four of the 18 reporting states are showing a very poor to poor rating in the double digits. And in all four cases, just barely into that threshold. Texas at 10%, 12% very poor to poor in Indiana, 13% in Colorado, 14% in Michigan. You really have to look long and hard to find any large-scale problems with this year's corn crop.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, first off, mixed day again in row crops, but beans finally breaking a six-day losing streak, but corn hitting new contract lows. So what's happening?
Well, it certainly is encouraging to see a bit of an up move in soybeans, that is for sure. It's been a couple weeks really now since the market tried to bounce and then broke into new swing lows. But technically speaking, even though we've retreated in prices, it's gotten down to a level in these 980s, 990s that has provided support before. So I think there might get some attention from the technical traders who believe the market's going to sustain the range. We'll see how that plays out. Generally speaking, though, for the row crops, in terms of soybeans, the major factors, as you kind of scan through what's affecting that market, would be fund traders. They're still on the bearish side of the equation. So the disinterested managed money category, I say disinterested because they're not really procuring or selling the product itself. They just want to get involved on the right side of the market. So that's one source of pressure. The weather has been favorable, good soil moisture, average to warmer temperatures, some heat stress here and there like we know, but nothing major. So net, as long as you got some soil moisture that's adequate, it could offset dry spells or hot spells, shall we say, for a period of time. And I think that's what we've seen generally happen throughout the bulk of the U.S. So that's working its way as a bearish element in the market. In terms of global trade, demand dynamics, China is not committed to any new crop U.S. soybean purchases, and actually they recently bought a third cargo of soybean meal from Argentina, which sends the signal that they're sourcing product elsewhere, I think probably just in my humble opinion, until the dust settles and they can get a firm grasp on what the trade policy between our two countries is going to be over the intermediate term. Crush demand has been a positive element for the soybeans. June U.S. soybean crush hit a record high of about 197.1 million bushels. So domestically, we've got pretty strong demand from the processors. That's a good thing. However, soybean oil prices have started to fall back just a bit at the moment. And palm oil prices are also weakening. So if that continues, you might see the crush break a bit. But again, a one-off is not a big deal. We just need to see what the trend is going to be. Other than that, that's pretty much the main impacts in the soybean market. If we turn our attention real quick over to corn futures, again, kind of sounding like a broken record in terms of overall weather. It's been mostly favorable for corn also, and they kind of go hand in hand. Soil moisture is strong, like I mentioned. Weather hasn't been, in terms of the heat, hasn't been unbearable for long, long periods of time without that soil moisture there. So kind of offset each other a little bit there. There is some talk of some potential isolated yield losses, especially here in Illinois, from pollination issues because of the heavy fog and rain during tasseling. So we'll keep an eye on that, see if the high end of expectations in terms of yield might actually start to come off a little bit. But that said, some private yield estimates are actually climbing a bit. So if there is any kind of spotty yield loss, generally speaking, nationwide, on average, the market doesn't seem to obviously be pricing that in, because clearly if the price in the futures market is an accurate reflector of all the fundamentals, we clearly see lower prices, so there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of concern at the moment. In terms of South America, Brazil's Safrinha corn harvest, it's about three-quarters of the way, give or take, complete, so that's almost done, and obviously that adds to the short-term global supply situation. Ethanol demand's been backing off a bit. June corn use for ethanol was a little bit disappointing, generally speaking, had about 448 million bushels, so we would need that to at least stabilize, if not push higher, to create some kind of turnaround in the momentum of this market at the moment. Tariffs, again, just kind of where we're at right now with the U.S. tariffs affecting multiple amounts of countries. There's clearly some export uncertainty that's being stoked. So that's another thing that's kind of spooking the market, and I don't think anybody wants to get robustly long in this type of environment. So we'll see how that plays out. And then lastly, but not least, we got wheat. That market basically pushed into new contract lows across all classes, so that's not favorable. Clearly, if again, to the point, if the market's an accurate reflection of overall fundamentals, it's not looking great on the upside for wheat when you're making new swing lows. You've got strong global supply competition. You've got the lack of significant weather threats. In terms of the global supply pressure, Argentina, their wheat crop condition is now over 95% excellent thanks to timely rains. So that increases their export competitiveness. A bit of the flip side of that, Ukraine's wheat exports, 25-26, which is the October through September fiscal year. So far, it's 862,000 metric tons. That's down from about 1.5 million last year. So in terms of just the quantity coming out of Ukraine, we're not getting that heavy pressure from the extra supply, but we are getting it from the EU and Russia, where they continue to be aggressive exporters. So again, weather's non-threatening. I think that's the most important, one of the most important players in terms of determining price direction. Harvest progress for that spring wheat continues to move along smoothly. We've got some uncertainty from the global trade issue. See how tariffs work their way through the market. And that's basically where we're at with wheat. So I don't really see anything just looking at price, is really going to turn this thing around markedly anytime soon. Now, that said, if a trade deal comes out and they throw out some details and specifics about ag trade and some kind of commitments from foreign trading partners that they're willing to come in and buy our products, shall we say, corn, wheat, and soybeans in specific, but others in generally also, that could be a game changer, but we'll just have to wait for that news.
Bob Mowers with Manduca Trading in Chicago. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donnie Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Mauer is with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Hey, Bob, cash trade strong last week in cattle. Futures are higher. Boxed beef retreating. So what's it spell for the beef industry moving forward?
Well, I would agree with that. Cash trade was strong last week in the cattle, and box beef is softening, if not retreating, and that's not a good combination. So if the inputs prices are increasing, and on the back end, wholesale that you're selling these products at, once you process them, is kind of contracting or just stable, that's not necessarily a great scenario. It has to be sustained at times often in the cattle and hog industries, because you got to keep the lights on regardless. But it just comes down to how long that is going to continue in that particular situation, right? So beyond that, the cattle on feeder number is kind of indicative of how we got where we are. The on-feed number as of July 1, as we know, was the lowest in 17 years. We had placements that were much weaker than expected. So in terms of just the quantity of head out there, we are where we are with the prices. It makes sense. However, we are seeing higher weights. Carcass weights are increasing. Steers are up 19 pounds or so year on year. Heifers are up around 24 pounds year on year. And why that's important is that even though we have not as many head out there, we do have higher weights, which are offsetting the quantity of head out there just in terms of the raw amount of meat that's being produced. One thing that's kind of interesting and working its way into the market is the fact that we've got the heifer and cow slaughters, which are down significantly. So what this does basically is supports longer-term bullish fundamentals due to tighter breeding stocks. So those aren't animals that are going to market. Those are animals that are being held back to try to rebuild this herd, which seems to be long overdue and doesn't happen overnight. But maybe this is the start of something a little bit more significant in terms of turning the corner over the next few years in terms of these prices based on the quantity of cattle out there. So we'll see how that all plays out. New tariffs, global trade tensions, they're not affecting the cattle market directly, in my opinion, but down the road it could influence the U.S. beef export competitiveness, especially with Brazil ramping up its exports to Mexico. So we'll see how that all plays out. Hogs had a decent little rebound in pork cutout values. I think that helped prices pop up a little bit. Obviously, they're not seeing the significant continued rally that cattle had been seeing up until a few days ago, that is, but nonetheless, they've already fallen off some, but kind of stable at these levels that they're at. Continued uncertainty remaining about export demand and trade policy. Carcass weights are a little bit lighter than seasonal norms, so that's helpful in terms of the total production. Export demands, exports are in a bit of a unknown area, being that Mexico remains the largest U.S. pork buyer, and they were granted a 90-day extension in tariff negotiations. So a little bit more confidence there for a short window. That could always change, but a short window, at least where we have that continued buying from Mexico. On the flip of that would be just the broader trade uncertainty, like I kind of mentioned, and then Brazilian pork exports, they're expanding rather significantly, especially to Mexico, the Philippines, Japan. So we've got more global competition as some of the trade uncertainty with the U.S. kind of ripples around the planet, and those who are able to fill the gap are taking advantage of it.
Bob Mowers with Manduca Trading in Chicago. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, contact info.
Sure, contact information. You can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or reach out via email at bmauer@manducatrading.com, or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com, and you can reach out that way also.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Approaching closer during the first full week of August.
The biggest, most amazing American farmers market in the history of our country in Washington on the National Mall.
The announcement from Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins earlier this month. Now, additional details about the Great American Farmers Market are available. Held nightly from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. from August 3rd through 8th. Themes for each day of the event, connecting various aspects of agriculture and its role in the development of our nation through its history, all part of the year-long 250th anniversary celebration of the founding of our country. 50 vendors daily on the mall, representing all areas of the country. More details about the Great American Farmers Market are available online at www.usda.gov/GAFM. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.